IOM Radio Network, the world's conscious broadcasting network. Live on iTunes and archived on iHeartRadio, the voice of consciousness. And now, join Shea Parker's Best of the Best, offering celebrity guests, lively discussions, hot topics, free psychic readings, and expert guest hosts. Simply the best in spiritual and metaphysical talk radio. Listen live on your phone or device using our universal mobile player. No app needed. Shea Parker's Best of the Best. Find out more at bestamericanpsychics.com.
Good evening. This is Vicki Snyder, and welcome to Divine Angel Messages on Best of the Best. I am the guest host every fourth Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm just going to tell you a little bit about myself before I introduce my very special guest tonight. I'm a certified Shea Parker Best American Psychic, a medium, and an angel intuitive. You can learn more about my services at my website, which is www.vickisnyder.com. And that's V-I-C-K-I-S-N-Y-D-E-R. You can even book a reading there with me right through my website. So tonight, my special guest is Dr. Jean Christeller. She is the co-founder and past president of the Center for Mindful Eating. She's the author of The Joy of Half a Cookie. She's a clinical and research psychologist who has worked for over 30 years in the areas of obesity, eating disorders, and the therapeutic value of meditation. And she has over 30 publications in these areas. She conducts workshops on mindful eating nationally and internationally. And her work has also been featured in Self Magazine, Martha Stewart's Healthy Living, Red Book, and Women's Health. And you can contact her at her website, which is eat.com. So welcome to the show, Dr. Jean. How are you?
I'm just delighted to be with you. Thank you very much.
Oh, good. Yes, you're welcome. I'm very excited to speak with you. This is a topic that's near and dear to my heart, as I've struggled with my weight, and that whole mindful eating topic has been in my mind a lot, as it has, I'm sure, a lot of people. So maybe you'd like to start off and tell us how you got interested in obesity and working with eating disorders.
Well, you know, I think you're making a good point. It's so easy to get disconnected from our bodies, to get caught up in really sort of going crazy around food and eating and looking for that next diet that's going to solve everything, and the higher the magic number of how many pounds you're going to lose in the next 2 weeks or months or whatever is
right.
What calls you in. And believe me, I went there myself. And as I started working with some of these issues, both personally and also professionally, as I started to learn more about maybe there's a little bit of wisdom there in what psychology could tell us. You said I am a psychologist. I kept on going with that. I began to think, wait a minute, is there a different way to come at this? Maybe there's a way to reconnect ourselves with the wisdom of our bodies, with the wisdom of what we're eating, how it's tasting, checking in with are we actually really physically hungry, or is that just grabbing us because we've told ourselves we can't have any of it, like that donut.
Right. Yeah.
And what I began to find was this actually was pretty powerful for people to let go of that judgment and start to enjoy food more. This is a paradox. It's enjoying food more and yet eating less of it. So I started to apply that to myself, and then I started working with other people around it.
Right. Wow. That's just fascinating, because I think your a point there that you made about balancing, I think that's so important. I think that's often neglected, that body, mind, spirit connection and balance is important as well. And often it's not addressed.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned mindfulness. I think more and more people know what this is, but essentially the power of using what we call mindfulness, and that term is getting used a little broadly these days, but to learn how to tune in, to learn how to just take a moment to be quiet in yourself. And what the way I put it is we're reconnecting ourselves to our wise mind, to that part of ourselves that can say, you know, I can have a little bit of this without going overboard. Or maybe I'm not hungry and I'll enjoy it more later. But that idea that we have that wisdom in ourselves to do that when we stop for a moment and try and connect with it.
Yeah. So what in your idea, what is mindfulness in regards to eating? Because you brought up that point that it's used broadly. So in regards to eating, how will people be able to identify what it is?
Yeah. Well, mindfulness is that taking that moment, going to our breath. It really, I will say that developing, using meditation practice as a way to get there is indeed really helpful because it does train us to go there. But I'm not talking about eating while you're meditating. I'm talking about, that might be nice sometimes too. And actually we do what might be some meditative eating experiences in our program, but to go to that, take a moment, focus in on where you actually are, rather than just the thoughts, I should eat this, I shouldn't eat this, oh, I'm in a hurry, you're sitting in front of the TV, and excuse me, but that is not a place to be mindful of what you're eating.
No.
You have to be a really, really good mindful eater before you can do that.
Definitely.
But it's focusing in for a moment, being in the present, and really, really being with what you are experiencing. I use may seem like an odd example for this, but it works with eating is what wine tasters do. They don't gulp down any old wine. They savor it. They're in the moment. They're tasting it. They're swirling it around in their mouths. They're being very mindful. And taking that same, now does that mean they drink every glass of wine they're going to have that way? No. But they've cultivated that ability. So my guess is most people who do that, who are wine tasters, enjoy those other glasses of wine a lot more also.
Right.
Because they've trained themselves to be present with it.
I think that's a really good example, actually. You know, I think that probably resonate with a lot of people. Yeah. So kind of do that with your food.
Exactly.
And you have to do that. Would you think people have to do that with every meal, or are there certain times when it's more important, or how do people know when they would have to be mindful?
Well, there's so many. Eating is actually a really complicated process. We have to choose. Yes, it is. I mean, and that's part of the problems with the eat this, don't eat that kind of mindset. That they're appealing because they simplify the eating process. Okay, so here's what you need to eat for the day, the week, whatever, and eat it at this time, and don't eat any more, don't eat any less. It simplifies it, and that can be quite a relief. One of my associates whose work I greatly admire, Brian Wansick, he actually wrote a book called Mindless Eating. But we're sort of on the same page. So he's worked on the mindless side of it, and I've worked on the mindful side of it. But
that seems like a nice partnership, actually.
He's found that people make 200 to 300 decisions a day around their eating.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a lot. It takes up a lot of our day.
Well, a lot of them are, you know, they're done very automatically. That's the whole point.
Right.
We do them very automatically. Yeah. So we choose the first thing that's in front of us in the cupboard instead of stopping and thinking, what do I really want? I had somebody who, after she had been working with in our group for a while, who said, you know what? I keep this stack of frozen meals, okay? So you can do this.
Uh-huh.
You can do this with frozen meals in her freezer. And if she was in a hurry, and she did this at work actually, she would just grab the top one, and she'd throw it in the microwave, and whatever it was. Of course, she liked it well enough because she'd bought it, but she liked it well enough. But what she did is she started stopping and thinking and taking like literally 30 seconds, if that, to look through what was in the stack and choose the one that called her the most that moment.
Oh.
And she chose that. And she then had that for her lunch. And she said, you know, once I started doing that, I was more satisfied because that was the thing I wanted right then and there. And she said, so I then realized that I was much less likely, like a couple of hours later, to start thinking about going down to the snack machine and getting something else.
Right. Wow.
So choosing our food.
That's a pretty easy way to, easy way to have a long-lasting effect, hopefully.
Yeah. So just being more reflective about choosing what you want in the moment. Do I want something for a snack? Do I want something sweet? Or do I want something savory and salty?
Mm-hmm.
And then tuning in and then trying to go with that. And, you know, sometimes we can't. So you put up with that.
Right.
But that's one of the parts of being mindful. Another part is just checking in. Am I hungry or not?
Right.
Is this a psychological craving or just a desire, or am I actually physically hungry?
Yeah, we're going to go to break right now, but when we come back, we're going to pick up where we've left off with mindfulness and eating and a whole bunch of other things that I have in store for you. So we'll see you in a few minutes.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hi, this is Shea Parker, founder of BestAmericanPsychics.com. If you are a professional psychic or medium and are looking for a group of like-minded individuals that are truly supportive of one another, Best American Psychics is the place for you. Or if you're not a psychic, but you're in need of guidance regarding love, money, career, and more, please visit our directory. Each psychic is double tested and approved for accuracy, professionalism, ethics, and more. BestAmericanPsychics.com, a new league of professional psychics.
So I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Welcome back to Divine Angel Messages. This is Vicki Snyder of VickiSnyder.com, and I'm interviewing my special guest, Dr. Jean Christeller. We've been talking about mindfulness and eating, and on this segment, I'd like to talk about her book, which is The Joy of Half of a Cookie, and the mindfulness-based eating awareness training program that you write about in your book and that you have created. So would you like to talk about the book a little bit right now?
It's such sure, a great I'd love tool. To.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's an awesome tool to really
Thank
help
you.
People.
Thank you. Yeah, what I tried to do in capturing the book was really the key pieces of what mindful eating is about. So the ideas behind it, that idea of connecting with your hunger, your fullness, knowing what kind of food you want. And it's full of exercises, practices that you can try yourself. It's guided, and there's actually, you can download some guided practices from my website. I'm going to repeat that again. It's www.mb-eat for mindfulness-based eating awareness training.com, mbeat.com. But it's,
I know.
It's, so the book goes over the theory, the concepts behind it, really in a way that guides people very gently, and then opens it up into doing the kinds of practices, which we actually do. I train people around the country to provide this these programs in clinical settings, and that's there's quite a few people out there now, I think, doing that. But the book would definitely help anybody get started with it on their own, and that's it's designed to do that.
Yeah, it's very easy to read, just so for people to know it's not. It's very, you know, it flows just very good because it's not just reading. There's practices, like you said, tasks to start with. There's some meditations. So I just really loved it because it really breaks it down into a usable format for most people, you know, so they can be successful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that, Vicki. It really means a lot to me to hear somebody share that they've sort of put their toe in the water and then gone further and have really worked with it.
Yeah. It's a great tool.
Well, it's based
coming from
on
a spiritual background. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. From coming from a spiritual background, I can't stress enough that, you know, being out of control, feeling out of control with your eating and can just affect so many areas, like I'm sure you found, like mm-hmm. emotions and self-esteem, and it throws everything out of balance. So then people aren't possibly living their life purpose, and they're not, you know, it just
exactly.
it affects all areas. It's not just overeating and being overweight, but, you know, it
yes.
affects everything, how you feel about yourself
yes.
and what kind of person you are.
Exactly. And so often people will tell me, I'm just this emotional eater. I can't help myself. And one of the things that I say, you know, actually, I think that it's your struggle around eating that's making you feel that way. And if you can get into better balance with your eating, what you're going to find is you can let go of some of that struggle and move into a place where you value your relationship to eating and food. Of course you do, because that's the only way we can survive. And if we're going to have something, indeed, we can enjoy it. But we can also, as you say, engage with it spiritually as something that heals us, that gives us health, that makes us joyful, that brings us memories perhaps from childhood, rather than turning it into something that is either good food, bad food. I hear people getting so caught up in these, I can't eat this, but then eating the whole box of the cookies or the chips or the crackers or whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes, and struggling and feeling terrible. And I sort of take a very different approach, and I'm glad you brought up the idea of the spiritual place, because if you come from a place of self-acceptance, if you come from a place of wisdom, you know, indeed, a few bites of ice cream, a few cookies, It's not food as poison. Those are still going to serve your body. It's when you go crazy about it that gets it out of balance. And then you can share in the family gathering. You can share with your friends. You can enjoy what is bringing you health and bringing and nurturing you rather than struggling about it.
Yeah. And, you know, people are so hard on themselves in life that this is just one area that it's, you know, it just people are so hard on themselves. Like you
exactly.
said, exactly. Oh, I can't eat that. I can't eat that. And then they do. And then there's guilt and, you know, that deprivation. And it's not a mm-hmm. good way to live. So if people can learn to be mindful mm-hmm. and enjoy little bits, like half of a cookie, like your book, you know, I think the whole world will be
and
much
I mean,
happier.
And just so I want to make clear to your listeners, to our listeners, is that's a half a big cookie. That's not a half a little
yeah.
one.
Okay, that's good.
and we also...
You can't deprive yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what we find, we ask, and this we do in our program, and it's in the book, is the question, and whoever is listening here can ask themselves this right now. If you struggle with your eating, your food, your weight, how much of your time, your energy, your thought goes into that, goes into your food, goes into worrying about it, goes into agonizing about that pound on the scale or your next diet or your last diet or whatever?
Right.
And I'll, you know, if you saw then in the book, you know what I mean, that
yeah.
people come back to me with 70%, 80%, and
yeah.
we do a, and that's part, there's some science here. When you're struggling about something, what happens is there's something we call the wandering mind, and that part
mm-hmm.
of our mind goes there. It goes to what we're struggling with. And if that's where your mind is going over and over during the day, you're not actually bringing that positive energy you could have to the other things in your life that actually are really important to bring into better balance.
Right.
And I've worked with people where they started with that 75-80% saying that, and within a week or two of working with that, they suddenly go, oh my goodness, I was using the mindfulness, using, bringing this into balance, just observing. I don't have to worry about this all the time. I can just be present. I can make these choices, and they feel much more balanced and much more in balance with who I am
yeah.
and what I want to do.
Yeah, it's so important.
And then within a few weeks, what they're saying, you know what? That 80% has dropped down. It's down to 40%.
Wow, that's great.
And half of that 40% is what I actually spend on shopping and cooking and getting dressed. And that's in so much better balance than it was before.
Yeah, definitely. Now, that's interesting because I was going to ask, how long do you think it usually takes people to kind of integrate and change the thought pattern and see a visible change with their eating?
Well,
you know, I'm sure it's all over the place with people, but generally.
Yes, and it's slow steps. And our first practice mm-hmm. is mindfully eating four raisins. And they're...
No, I was going to say you have that meditation on your website.
Yes, that's on the website.
Meditation. Yeah.
Yeah. Mindfully eating four raisins. And people are like, okay, this is a little weird. But you're bringing mindfulness to it. You're breathing. You really taste that first raisin. You eat it really slowly. You savor every moment of it. You do the second raisin the same way. And then I ask people, now, just do the third one. Guide yourself through this. And then I'll say, do you really, truly want that fourth raisin?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people do, but an amazing
right.
number of people say, you know what? I don't want the fourth raisin. I enjoyed the first three, and now I'm satisfied. And how do we usually eat raisins? By the handful.
Handfuls, yeah.
And then they will, that next,
breaking it down.
Yeah, that next week, they'll start bringing that quality to other things that they're eating and realize that they can do that. Now, if that was all it took, the whole program, you know, the whole process would take 15 minutes.
Right.
It takes more than that.
Yeah.
It takes more than that, of course, because we have so many of those habits, so many of those situations where we suddenly realize, oh my God, I just, you know, I just ate six cookies. I wasn't even that hungry. Right. And the last three didn't even taste good, but they were there in front of me. And uh-oh. But they've also learned to say, you know, this isn't the end of the world. This isn't the end of the world. What was going on? Oh, yeah, I had that difficult phone call. And I, you know, I just wanted to kick me back to when I was 16, and I just wanted to put those cookies in my mouth.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
That's another good point, you know, about where this comes from, you know, from, you know, childhood, you know, where do we get that idea of using food to soothe ourselves? And what have you found in your practice with people?
Well, actually, like part of what I say is, you know what? It's okay to use some food to soothe yourself. But don't, if you immediately, as soon as you start having that dish of ice cream, kick in the guilt, kick in the, oh my God, I shouldn't be having this at all. Well, I'm just going to keep, you're not soothing yourself. You're not soothing yourself.
Right.
And one of the, I actually did some research on this where I found that, I'm going to say, balanced eaters, these were healthy eaters. These are people who had no issues with food at all, no issues with weight. Said, of course I'm more likely to eat something like ice cream or something like that if I'm feeling upset about something.
Well, we have to go to break.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching. Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatePR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Hi, this is Vicki Snyder, the Everyday Mystic Angel. What's that, you ask? Well, it's an angel with a down-to-earth edge. And you can catch me live every fourth Tuesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on The Best of the Best. Learn more about me and my services at www.vickisnyder.com. That's V-I-C-K-I-S-N-Y-D-E-R.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Divine Angel Messages. This is Vicki Snyder of VickiSnyder.com, and I'm interviewing my special guest, Dr. Jean Christeller, who is the author of The Joy of Half of a Cookie. And we've been talking about mindfulness with eating and all kinds of things related to eating. And now I hope we're going to talk about some meditation with that as well. But before we get started, sure. I'd like to let you know, well, have you tell the listeners how they can get your book.
It's available on Amazon.com. It's published by Peregrine Random House, so they may be able to find it in a local bookstore. So it should be fairly easy to get.
Okay. And again, that's yep. Joy of Half a Cookie. And your website, too, has some really great resources that are kind of fun, and they can, you know, start using them right away. You have some, like, 3 worksheets in there. You know, that I checked out, and they're also in the mm-hmm. book, but definitely, mm-hmm. you know, you can print those out and start now, you know, the Keep It Off checklist, the 500 calorie challenge worksheet, and an emotional eating worksheet, which I'd like to talk about that later on as well, that emotional eating
sure.
book. Some great tools. There's meditations, listeners. So, you know, please feel free to check out her website, which is what do you call that?
MB.
You call it,
MB
hyphen
EAT. It's
okay.
mindfulness-based eating awareness training.
Okay. I thought you said slash, but it's a hyphen. Okay. So
it's a hyphen.
Check her out
it's
at MB-EAT.com because it's a great website and you can learn more about her and the book and everything she's been doing for quite a few years.
Yeah, I've got a fair number of other things on there too.
yeah. Well, that's okay. So we've been talking about the mindfulness. So and now they know how to get your book. What about meditation?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you've been working in meditation, too, for a while, quite a while.
For a long, mm-hmm.
and
for a long time.
How did you get started with meditation?
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to I'm going to show my age here. I started with transcendental meditation. TM way back when I was in college, and I was going to be traveling in Japan and Asia, and people kept asking me if I was going there to study meditation, and I had no idea what they meant and what they talked about were talking about. But I saw some posters up around saying, you know, meditation, control your heart rate, relax, do all these things. And I thought, you know, yes, in three sessions, you can learn everything about it. So I thought, okay, I'll give this a try. And it was life changing. It was life changing. I actually was able to, for myself personally, I was one of these people who just thought constantly, my mind was constantly going. And
monkey brain.
The monkey brain. My monkey was right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure how many monkeys were up there, but there are a lot. And I was able to just quiet down and be in the present and be in the moment. And it was just so nice. It wasn't, you know, that was the only thing I was going to do. I could go back to the thinking and the analyzing and the everything else. But I had the tool. I had the tool to stop for a moment and just be and just
right.
be there in the moment. And that is, it's so powerful. There are many different kinds of meditation practice. I want to speak respectfully, of course, of transcendental meditation because they really popularized mm-hmm. access to meditation in this country starting in the 60s and 70s.
Wow.
People who may have know back to that time, I mean, the Beatles were into it. And that it popularized meditation. It also was the first type of practice where a lot of science was being done that was really documenting how many effects, valuable effects there were from simply doing this practice for 20 minutes a day and for TM twice a day. But mm-hmm. the exact amount of time isn't what's critical. It's being able to shift into that mind space that is quieter, that is opens ourselves up to what I call our inner wisdom, to our spiritual
yes.
self. And it's really, people say, oh, TM, is that... That's Hindu-based. I can't do that. Or mindfulness meditation is Buddhist-based. I'm not a Buddhist.
Mm-hmm.
All of the major religions have developed meditative contemplative practices that help people, in fact, connect to that side of themselves and do it in different ways, in different contexts. But that is part of the value of it. No matter what,
right.
where you're coming from, and I like to. I sometimes get a little bit of some questions from people about, well, mindfulness, as I said, isn't that Buddhist? I said, well, actually, one of the things to keep in mind is that Buddhism is a religion, absolutely, but it's also a psychology and it's also a philosophy, and in some
right.
ways, the psychology of Buddhism is where mindfulness meditation practice comes from. And it is a very sophisticated understanding, actually, about how people work. The Buddha said that suffering comes from grasping or avoiding, from trying to, very relevant to food, too. And,
definitely.
And that the suffering comes from getting attached to wanting more of something or running away from something else. And as I said, as a psychologist, that maps on so well to what we now understand is some of the basics of conditioning theory, of
right.
of being pulled towards something or being something being aversive. And the Buddha, again, as a psychologist, and I'm going to say Buddha as psychologist, was
mm-hmm.
saying the way to move away from that is to move into this place of mindfulness and to just be there.
So that's how they
and observe.
That's how they work together.
Yeah, that's how they work together. You can observe what you want. You can evaluate it. Does that mean that every desire is somehow not appropriate? No, of course not. We do need to know what things are going to be good for us and what things that we need to avoid. It's being caught up in those that
right.
causes the pain and causes the struggle. And stepping back just for a moment and saying, you know what? Part of me wants that third cookie. And part of me is saying, you know, you're actually really, that part of you is the deprived child, or that part of you is the rebellious teenager, or that part of you is the part of you that wasn't actually tasting those first two cookies as much as you might have. So your taste
right.
buds have actually, maybe they've gotten tired, and you don't need that third cookie. You're going to enjoy it a lot more if you save it and have it tomorrow.
Right. So what do you... what do you teach people about meditation? How often should they do it in regards to, like, when they're in the mindfulness training, if they're training with you or someone that you've trained, how often do you suggest they meditate, and how do they go about that?
Well,
because so many people say
again.
Are so phobic about it, about I can't meditate, and I can't quiet my mind. I can't sit still. I don't have time, all the excuses.
Well, quieting your mind is the effect. It's not what you have to go for.
Right.
Many of us start when we start to meditate is with becoming aware of what I call the chattering mind, as I was
okay.
describing for myself. It's that
yeah.
constant background thinking, worrying, planning that's there. That's the first step, is becoming aware of that. The second, and that often quiets down. It may take a few weeks. It may take maybe only
right.
a few days. It's sitting down. It's, you don't have to sit on a cushion on the floor either. You can
yeah.
sit on a chair.
Yeah.
It's perfectly fine. Because
yeah.
we sit in chairs. Maybe not the most comfortable lounger in your house, because guess what? You're going to fall asleep. save that for when you want to go to sleep. When you're practicing, there's some guided practices on my website. Just tuning in to the breath. The reason we use the breath, you can also use repeating a sound or word. Repeating the word one over and over can be very effective. Repeating a word, the word peace, if in fact your chattering mind is too busy in there. Repeating a sound or word. Starting with 10 minutes, that's what I encourage people to start with.
Yeah.
Starting with 10 minutes, then moving up to 20 minutes. And if you want going longer, some people really, really like to, and others say, no, you know, the 20 minutes is good. And then bringing that quality of mind, what you're doing is you're learning to bring that into other situations. So we move to what I call mini meditations, which is just taking a few moments, tuning into two or three breaths, being in the moment. And when you've gotten to the point where you can quiet that mind down, you're saying, what do I have in front of me? What am I going to choose to eat? How am I enjoying this? And that mini meditation, we found in our research that the more times people told us they did the mini meditations during the week, the more successful they were in terms of balancing their eating, less struggle.
Wow. Yeah, yes. That's awesome. That's great, you know, because that's doable.
It's doable. Definitely. It was actually a combination of the sitting practice, the mini meditations, and then actually sort of doing more guided work with the food that was together the best predictor of how well people did.
Okay, we're going to break, our last break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about emotional eating. So see you in a few minutes.
Good.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Divine Angel Messages. This is Vicki Snyder of VickiSnyder.com, and I'm interviewing my special guest, Dr. Jean Christeller. So welcome back, Jean. In this segment, I'd like to talk about emotional eating, because that's such a huge issue for so many people.
Sure.
So what do you find helps people with that?
Again, I was mentioning before, some of our research showed that people who are balanced eaters actually do use food for comfort. So it's not this black or white thing that you can't ever do that. But you're right. If you're feeling angry, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling frustrated, procrastinating, we have people saying, oh my God, I realize the main reason I eat is because I'm procrastinating. And if you go to food, it's maybe not the best choice. So one of the things is to start to recognize, what is that feeling going on? Maybe actually that's anxiety instead of hunger, instead of real physical hunger. Maybe I'm just avoiding things. Maybe I actually really do need to just lie down on my bed and cry for a while and then go treat myself to a dish of ice cream instead of having the whole quart and then being both really upset and then going down and lying down in your bed and crying. That it's not, and often it gets set up as an one or all black and white kind of consideration that you must never eat for emotional reasons. Now, one of the things I will say is people will get into a pattern that can be really hard to get out of, which is that they go to food to block out other things. And that, for a lot of the people I work with, where they're really struggling with a fair amount of weight, that's become one of their major coping strategies. That's become the way to block things out. We all need things. We all need ways to block things out on occasion. We all need ways to just say, I don't want to think about this for the next hour. But eating for the next hour, not the best idea.
Right.
And so, And so acknowledge that's okay to want to block something out for the next hour. Go play a computer game, go to, watch TV, but without the chips in front of you also. Find things that pick up a magazine, whatever other ways you can find to take care of yourself that will help, will work. There are other ways. There always are other ways, and I don't think I've ever worked with anyone who didn't realize that they could find something else. It might take a while. You might have to get creative, but it's so much healthier, both psychologically and physically, to find those other things, and then maybe go to the small amount of food as just the way to give yourself the little treat. Not the whole bag or the whole box or, Does that make
sense? It does. Yeah, it does. What are some of the body's fullness signals? I know you talk about that. Maybe some of the listeners would benefit.
Oh, so often I hear two things. I hear one, I know I've had enough when everything has gone on my plate. Or the bag is gone, or the box is gone, or whatever. It takes 20 minutes to know you're full. Well, it doesn't take 20 minutes. Okay. This is the good news. Yeah. It doesn't take 20 minutes to know you're full.
Yeah, that's what I just read lately,
Right. It isn't a myth, really. I'll come back to that there being some truth in that 20 minutes, but you can eat an awful lot in 20 minutes, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So what you want to do, it actually, our blood sugar and our bodies start responding fairly quickly to food, and you can start to feel a difference rather quickly. We have a practice in the book that I'll share right now, which is...
Okay.
Don't wait till you're absolutely starving. Do this when you're sort of not. You have some room in your stomach, but you're also you're not super full. Take about a bottle of water, 16 to 20 ounces, and just on a 1 to 10 scale, where 10 would be as full as you can imagine being, like Thanksgiving dinner plus the extra piece of pie.
Oh, okay.
And 1 is not full at all. 1 is empty. you drink half that bottle really quickly, and you see mm-hmm. where you were to start with. What was your number? There's no right or wrong number. Where were you? You drink half that bottle. Where am I now? You're tuning into that feeling in your stomach. And then you drink the rest of the bottle really fast. Basically, you want to get the water in you without before it starts moving out of your stomach also.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, many people will say, oh, my goodness, that feels really full.
Yeah.
It's basically with two cups of something that you're putting in yourself. That's like a nice big salad. Or that's like, you know, your half cup of potatoes, half cup of veggies, and your serving of meat. And
right.
you start to tune into what that is. So you get that feeling. Now, I'm going to go to the 20 minutes is what happens after you stop eating, whenever that is, your body
okay.
is going to continue okay. to absorb food from what you ate. And you're going to notice for at least another 20 minutes, especially if you had a larger meal, that you are, you're still feeling it. And you're feeling it a little bit more. But you don't want to wait to that point to stop eating. So
right.
that's where the truth is. That's where the truth is in the 20 minutes.
Okay.
But I'm going to share the real secret here is the quickest clue that you've had enough is tuning into your taste buds.
Okay.
And you may remember this, Vicki, from the book.
Yeah.
Maybe I just jumped ahead of you. Our taste buds. Yeah, our taste buds are the quickest thing to start to tell us that we may have had enough. Our taste buds get tired the quickest. Remember the four raisins I mentioned? People wanted to stop after. Because the first three had saturated the taste buds on their tongue that tune into raisins.
Yeah.
And you can do this with small pieces of chocolate. You can do it with any food. I encourage people to experiment with this. I use that word a lot. Experiment with what you're eating. Explore. Be curious. You can eat small pieces of a food. It's better if it's fairly uniform in flavor. That's why I say chocolate is a good one. But anything that is pretty uniform in flavor. And just start savoring small bites of it. And you're going to find that unless you're really hungry, because the science is here, that if you're really hungry, this is going to take longer. But if you're not starving, after you've had just three or four smallish bites, you're going to start to notice that there's a shift in your taste buds.
Yeah.
Now, that's the first clue. That's the first feedback that you can get. Now, if you only ate three bites of everything, you'd probably starve. So the second place is mostly our taste buds really tire out after what is more likely a more typical serving size, but to keep on eating something, thinking you're ever going to get back that initial surge of flavor is just impossible. It can't happen.
That's funny because I think we keep trying to do that, don't we? I just think of myself with eating, you know, and what you're talking about, and I think we do. We keep hoping it's going to taste as good. Wrong.
Yes.
It's totally true, yeah.
No, it can't. It can't.
No.
I call that chasing the flavor.
Right.
It can't come back.
Yeah. Well, we only have a few more minutes, so I wanted to again say that for the listeners to check you out on your website. It's mb-eat.com. Is there any other website or place that they can contact you through or any other contact information you'd like the listeners to have?
If somebody is really interested in getting in touch with me, and I if it's okay to say, I do some work with people on the phone or by Skype.
That's fine.
That my email address is pretty simple. It's jean.christeller.
Okay.
I'm still at the university, so it's at INDSTATE. I'm at Indiana State. INDSTATE.edu.
Wonderful.
And they might put something in like the name of the show, or that was how they knew to try and reach me. Sure.
Okay. Also, you know, before we run out of time, too, I wanted to say, do you do appearances? Do you have classes, events, anything that you'd like to let people know?
Yep, so maybe we've got a weekend.
See you in person.
Yep, we've got a weekend program coming up at the end of August at the Kripalu, K-R-I-P-A-L-U. Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health in Lenox, Massachusetts. Beautiful, beautiful place. And
wonderful.
It's 3 days, and we still have room, I think, in the program.
Okay.
That's the last weekend.
Yeah, listeners, please, if you want to, you know, check that out. So you do work individually with people, so that's great for people to know, because I'm sure there's people out there that, you know, are resonating with your program and your training. So I think that's it's wonderful that if they can reach out to you like that.
I'd be glad to hear from people who might be interested in that.
Okay, well, I guess we're done for the night. I hear the music coming on, so I can't thank you enough for coming and sharing your book and your knowledge.
Thank you so much. It was lovely to be on there with you. You're doing great work.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Good night, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Be sure to tune in next week for more lively discussion topics. Have a great week. And don't forget to check out bestamericanpsychics.com. In case you need some professional, ethical, and accurate psychic advice from the nation's best psychics. Until next week, take care of yourselves and one another.